Hello, this is the third audio boo of the day, actually. Apologies for that. I'm being interviewed now by, and I'm going to hand the phone over,
Shannon Beaton.
And why are you interviewing me?
For a project at Manchester College.
Which is about what?
Media, Savvy Productions.
Okay, so I'm going to be interviewed. She's got a really interesting list of questions, so hopefully I won't sound like a complete arse when I answer them. Okay, off you go.
When your product is selected, what's the process?
Okay, well, it's called a commissioning process. And the process of selection can be a really quick one or not. But if it's a straight single product, like, for example, if it was a radio drama for the BBC, then there are commissioning rounds. So they tell you at what points during the year they want you to send ideas in. You send ideas. Sometimes I say, yes, I'll have that just exactly as you've sent it in. And that's normally a couple of pages if it was a radio drama. And then a commissioner will say yes or no, and then you go on to make it. So it's about knowing who the commissioner is, knowing what the process is, knowing what they want. And there's online, if you go to with the BBC, bbc.co.uk, I think it's /commissioning, you can have a look at anything the BBC is asking for at any time. And so that's the same guidelines we follow as you'd look at. If it's for something that's works across different platforms, the process is one of development. So I would work with partners, whether those are brands, whether those are technical partners, platforms, other companies. We've got one that I'm working with, an animation company. And you would work with them to develop the product. And then depending on what it is, you would then pitch it to different people. So it really, when it comes to stuff that works across more than one platform, it's any which way, really. And yeah. It's often about knowing the right people to talk at, and then knowing the right people to join together to make the product stronger, and having the right team on board, the team of writers, or in that case, animation, or directors, or you name it. Depends what it is, yeah. Really.
So I researched that you... you've done work for Emma Bunton. Is that the same?
That's the tech side of our company. Yeah. They did. They were working with EMI. That's my tech partner, is Marcus, and he's been work. He was working with EMI in the early website days. So he worked with all sorts of Atomic Kitten type, Emma Bunton, all sorts of, and they. It was about making interactive websites for EMI. So that's what he did. So I can put you in touch with Marcus if you want him to tell you exactly how that worked. But it had a huge amount of hits when this sort of stuff was relatively new. Not me personally.
when you recent switch to digital from analog, how did that change the way you work with technology?
I'm not sure if it came about just because of a switch between digital and analog for me. It came about because there were lots and lots of platforms of which we could tell stories on. Some of the stories and some of the writers and some of the ideas I'm working on, I don't necessarily fit, a standard broadcast model. It's given, technology gives me the tools to tell stories in different ways. And it opens up new areas on which new platforms to use. So instead of a platform having to be a traditional broadcaster or an imprint platform, I can work across lots of different spaces. So the technology enables me to do it. It sort of dictates to some extent how we do things, but has really opened up the process and has opened up the way I can get to audiences. That's the biggest thing, the different ways you find audiences, share with audiences, transfer content to audiences, or get them to make it with you, depending on what it is.
So in your opinion, if I were to work in this sector, in this business, does background knowledge such as your theatre work help? Does it the experience help you get into the job you are now?
I'm a big believer that the two most important things are curiosity, as in an interest in, because I tell stories at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter on what platform, or I help writers tell stories. I think you just need to really want to do it. To get into the sector, you need a certain knowledge, I suppose. So you need to find out about the industry. You need to find out who's there. Quite frankly, you need to be networking and making sure you're meeting people if you're new in the industry and if you're younger and you can, work experience is perfect because you get to meet people and understand how the business works, and you just have to keep going. One of the quotes I always loved when I was younger was success is largely about hanging on after others have let go. And I think that's one of the things that you've just got to keep going for what you believe in, really. And then, sadly, like most things, it is who you know.
Yeah.
So you need to get to know the right people. You need to find out who the right people are to get to know, and then find a way to get to know them.
Yeah.
And sadly, it does still work like that.
That's like the quote I found out on the internet, stalking writers. Is that how you came to be who you are?
I mean, that's because I'm often, if I'm talking at, I'm talking at various media events and so on, and they ask you, you know, tell me about yourself. So I usually often say that I've had a career stalking writers and blurring the lines between fact and fiction. Mainly because, well, because I work with stories, and if the writing is poor quality, it doesn't matter how many millions you spend on special effects, casting, film crews, whizzy this, whizzy that, whizzy the other. It's writing that is the most important thing. So I suppose I've followed great writers' work around and then persuaded great writers to come and work with me, or they've approached me to work together. And that blurring the lines between fact and fiction for me is about every story is based on something real. That's why we engage with it. Even stories set in outer space, there's a certain amount of that world that is real to us and that we engage with. I like that I'm most interested, when I was in theatre, it was the point where the audience could engage with the content of a production. So I was always interested in forum theatre, where you gave the audience a selection of scenes towards an end, and then I created a lot of shows where the audience got to step in the place of characters in forum theatre and take on their roles and maybe change the outcomes. And so the line between the drama that you've created based on people's stories and then the audience stepping in and changing the stories to test out things themselves and to try their own, there's a very blurry line, really. And actually, I suppose as a production company, it's something you've got to be very careful about, because also if you're doing interactive projects, what knows to be real and knows to be false, and what you are honest about in that process is really, really important. And so that the audience, when they engage in something, know where the boundaries are is really important.
Interacting with the audience, that's one of your objectives in the drama. You talked about how that's important, and that's how you do it. But how, specifically, how do you do it? An example.
Okay, it depends per project. With forum theatre, it was very, very clear. You've got actors in a room and you've got audiences in a room, and you allow the audiences to affect the story. That's really simple. Actually, if it goes online, it's the same process. It's just with a bigger audience. So you've often got sort of technical or technology solutions to allow the audience to engage. But it might be, very early stages developing a project called the Cupid Concept, which is looking at romance, And so one of the early ways to get involved is asking the audience for their experiences. I am audiobooing their stories, people's thoughts on romance, or looking at their own relationships or their own history. So that's one way into the story. The other is allowing the audience to make decisions and choice on the content, so you provide them with, possibly with a dilemma, possibly with a part of the story that they are open, the audience can get involved with. If it is game-like stuff, then the audience are playing with the content, so they are directly interacting in the game world, I suppose. You know, audiences can leave comments, can talk to characters via social media. There are hundreds of different ways audiences can get involved, and I suppose the trick, from my point of view, is making that meaningful. Because if an audience thinks that they are being asked to provide something engage in providing something, and when they do, they feel that that's of no use and making no difference, and that's not particularly it's not a particularly interesting part of the process, and so that won't work. So it's project by project, but there's lots of ways of doing it.
Being involved in a multi-platform business, do you prepare for changes in the industry, and if so, how?
Okay, I'm going to stop this because I think I've only got 10 minutes on this boo, is that right?